Hello, listeners. This is producer John. Open Pike Night is going to be at Trek Long Island 2024. From May 31st to June 2nd, Cameron and myself, producer John, will be in the Big Apple living long and prospering. We'll be hosting a panel. We'll be giving out stickers. We will have our microphones. Be sure to follow Open Pike on social media and subscribe to openpike.substack.com because we also will be giving away some Trek Long Island weekend passes. Trek Long Island is May 31st to June 2nd at the Hyatt Regency in Hopog, New York. Is this thing on? Hello, hello. Welcome to Open Pike Night. I'm your host, John T. Bolts, here tonight with some amazing guests on stage and in the studio to have a second go-around at Subspace Rhapsody, Episode 9 of Season 2 of Strange New Worlds. Last time we talked about it, we were live at STLV, and we didn't get a chance to listen to our calls that came into the openpike@gmail.com address. So now, we are here with a very special guest to talk about and listen to all of our amazing callers.
That's right. We wanted someone especially musically inclined to help us discuss this episode, and the Beastie Boys were not available, so we got the second best thing.
So, without further ado, let's go ahead and introduce our guest. Okay, big breath. I can do this.
All right, John.
Joining us today is Isaac from Unplanned.
Oh, he's doing it. He's really doing it, everyone. This is like the pee scene from League of Their Own.
Trek.
Yay! Welcome, Isaac.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. It's been a great episode. See you next time.
Well, that's all the time we got tonight, folks.
Thank you.
That was terrific.
Not bad for being at 8,000 feet. Joining me tonight is one of my co-hosts, Cam Greenshirt Harrison, is here looking dapper. Cam, what is that you're wearing?
I don't know if it's technically the Karate Kid, Miyagi-Do headband. I had worn it for a wolf from Future Man costume.
Ah, nice. And, nice.
I found it while helping my daughter clean her room and was like, this is what I'm wearing for Isaac.
Excellent. Well, Isaac, you've been a regular caller to Open Pike Night. If any of our listeners don't recognize your voice, they need to go back and listen to several of our episodes because you've been on Open Pike Night quite a few times.
Yes, it's always fun to send a clip in. And at times, I was saying before, a little bit nervous as well, particularly when I'm sending something musical in that I wonder if it's actually rubbish and a bit embarrassing. But then I think to myself, you guys make the call on that.
Oh, yeah. No. We are delighted every time. We have never thought it was rubbish. Nope. Yes, you send us multiple songs and you've earned a spot on the musical episode guest list.
Absolutely.
Excellent. That's an honor. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, we have several musical submissions today. Let's get right into our first caller. Here is Isaac.
A musical episode deserves a musical reply. This song is gonna focus on that James Kirk guy. Do you think it will be a pregnant lady be Marcus Carroll? I'm gonna remind you that Dax was played by Terry Farrell. Another Carol could be with child. How about Carol Freeman? Crossover episode, that would be wild. You're at Star Trek Vegas and I'm at Star Trek Taz. It's just me and Andrew's other mate called Gaz. Hope you have a good time at Star Trek Vegas, it is true. And I'm gonna stay at home and watch Redemption 1 and then Redemption Number 2.
Hell yeah.
How long do you spend writing those?
actually don't write them, which means I have to do like several takes because I'm like, oh, what was I supposed to say then?
That's amazing. That's amazing.
But my point in the song is there's nothing in that episode that suggests that it's Carol Marcus that's with Charles.
Oh, that's fair.
It's just someone called Carol.
That's fair. Yeah. Maybe Kirk has a thing for Carols.
Well, I don't think Kirk would go, oh, I've already met someone called Carol. He'd just go, no, this is way easier, you know.
You can never accidentally call them the wrong name. So, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, thank you very much.
So there could be another Kirk and Carol son out there still alive.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. Sarek part two.
Well, thank you for that. You definitely took up the challenge of sending in a musical submission. Yeah. Well done.
Thank you.
Yeah, we did. We had a great time at STLV, and it's, man, conventions are fun, but we definitely needed to hear from all the folks that had sent us submissions, especially for this episode.
Mm-hmm.
It must have been fun seeing the inbox ping while you're away and knowing that there was more content coming.
Yeah. We were pretty busy nonstop. I thought we'd gotten 7 calls, maybe 8. We have 11 calls here today. So, yeah, the callers definitely
rose.
Yeah,
I thought it was 5 or 6.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, again, this is all about you guys. We've shared our thoughts. Yeah. So, Isaac, feel free to respond to yourself. Otherwise...
Yeah, need a bit of cowbell.
Got a couple notes for past Isaac, August Isaac.
That's right.
I was thinking some soft piano chords, like going in conjunction with the guitar. Like, yeah, it's a good moody start to a song.
I think just some angelic chimes to end it with.
Ah, there you go.
Right, I've got stuff to work on.
All right, here is our next caller on the Open Pike Night stage.
My life changes years from now, but even still I feel tied to my captain's vow. And when it finally comes to be, I think I'll finally bow. I'm scared, afraid of what I feel, and I can't tell most of my crew. I know how they deal. Whisper in the captain's ear, pretend it isn't real. So let my future be.
Listen, I can't even sing, and I just used 40 seconds. Can you tell how much I love this episode, guys? Can you tell how much I love musicals? This was everything I wanted it to be. I am so glad that Star Trek finally did a musical episode. Subspace Rhapsody was perfection. I think it is the new gold standard of musical episodes, and I kind of hope we get another. We'll see what happens, but this was just everything. I mean, listen, we also got Captain Pike on his knees professing his love, or you know, whatever he was professing. His look at the end told us everything. Celia Rose Gooding is a boss. I am running out of time. Keep up the good work, guys. It has been a blast listening to you guys this season. Just keep it up. See you later.
All right. Julian's got some pipes on him, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he had some real Pike energy there. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's a good lead into talking about how'd you feel about the Pike and Batel bits there, Isaac?
Yeah. It's not the best song in the episode, but it does give away a lot of their relationship and where they're currently at. And this was obviously before we saw the action of episode 10, but there has been a bit of fatalism about their relationship, particularly about him, at least not on screen, broaching that he knows what's coming.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to end well, but he doesn't necessarily know how their relationship ends. You know, he just only knows that bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it would have been interesting if he had made some references to his known fate in some songs, and some of the people on the crew who don't know about it would have been like, wait, what? What's he talking about? Why is he singing about fire so much? Like, I go see some looks from Ortega's being like, what the hell are you talking about, Captain?
They could have done The One I Love by R.E.M. I mean, that talks about, you know, not only the romance, but the chorus is literally fire.
Ah, there you go.
Okay, actually, that's a good point, too. It had been brought up, I can't remember, we'd heard somewhere somebody saying that they should have reworked existing songs and put new lyrics to them. Do you like that they did new songs, or do we wish they had done some covers?
I do like the fact that they're not... And the thing, if you use existing songs, is you're going to tweak it to make it space relevant. Mm. And it's not going to be, unless you're using something like Space Oddity by David Bowie. You know, like there's not many songs that are set in space that you could actually just copy and paste and would actually be relevant. Like the first song that they sing is about what's happening on the bridge right then, and it works because that's what it's doing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But if they just picked a random song by, I don't know, Ed Sheeran and changed it to make it. Make it about what was happening on the ship. It just wouldn't work.
No, mm-hmm. I agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It'd be fun if they had some outtakes that were covers that they were singing, something like that. But overall, original pieces was the right choice.
For sure.
Yeah, and there's some really strong songs in the lot, isn't there? Yeah. Like I get I'm the X in my head all the time. It's not even my favorite one that they did, but that one just stays consistently in my head canon, in my head playlist. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one I really need to get learned for our next karaoke. Like that is one I think it's right in my range. I love the lyrics, my favorite song in the episode, so we'll get it down. All right, next up we have Kelly returning to the Open Pike Night stage.
Greetings, Open Pike. This is Kelly Zentgeorgi, or Antipodal, on Twitter. Yowza. Subspace Rhapsody is a magnificent, amazing, and exquisite episode. I love the whole premise of the episode and the feelings. I went through 12 Kleenex, 4 alone for Uhura's song Solo. All the callbacks to previous episodes. Dr. Corby from Star Trek, the original series episode, What Are Little Girls Made Of? Una's mention of Gilbert and Sullivan from Short Trek's episode Q&A. Jim Kirk's reveal of Carol being pregnant from Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. Uhura mentioning Hemmer, and then mentioning Spock drinking blood wine again with the Klingons from The Broken Circle. And La'an taking out the diver's watch in her quarters that was used in Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow. Loved the return of Bruce Horak as the Klingon General Garkog. Said that Chapel is going to accept a 3-month fellowship with Dr. Corby, and the breakup with Spock is now final. Hopefully, as Spock and Chapel go on that EVA in next week's episode, they are still friends. Hope you had a fantastic time at Star Trek Las Vegas. Thank you, Open Pike. Best wishes for Season 2 podcasts, and hailing frequencies are closed.
It's fun to hear the calls now that we're several weeks past that next episode. Yeah.
Well, I remember thinking like, oh, yeah, Corby's just going to be between seasons. Like that 3-month missing Chapel is just going to be between seasons. So she'll just be back at the beginning of season 3. But I mean, she'll be there, but not having gone to do her fellowship.
Oh, you think she'll postpone it because of the whole Gorn thing?
It would be a good reason.
Yeah, yeah.
It might be because of the writer's strike as well.
Right. Yeah.
3 months turned into 3 years.
Yeah, exactly. And 3 years, we won't even really go too deep into what could happen to actors' contracts in those 3 years and whether we'll see everybody come back to the bridge or not. But you never know. But yeah, thank you, Kelly. That's a great point. I like that it was a blow off of, you know, just a stress relief for the crew after. It really was a pretty stressful season leading up to that episode and just basically unintentionally vent some stuff they needed to get off their chest.
Mm-hmm. It'd be really easy with this episode to not actually have it continue the storylines and just have a separate episode like in the Next Generation mold that it's mm-hmm. it's like The Simpsons. Everything resets at the end of the episode and everyone forgets about what's happened within it. Mm-hmm. It would be easy to just ignore what was happening, have a standalone musical episode and then come back to the narrative the week after of some of those plot points. Mm-hmm. And I think what actually makes this episode stronger is it actually not only utilizes some of those, but it actually closes some of them too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In really clever ways. Yeah. 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 But I have to also acknowledge that Bruce Horak point. He's my favorite Klingon. That was fantastic. I want an extended version of that.
Oh yeah.
Pop song.
Right.
And Garkog is a great Klingon name. I mean, that is.
Isn't it?
Yeah. All right. Our next caller is our new caller for that/this week. Here is Ken.
Good evening, everybody, at Open Pike Night. This is gentleman cartoonist Ken Holzhauser. I'll start off by saying I know that this episode is not necessarily going to be everybody's cup of Rocktuccino, and that's fine. I get that. But I think for me, what I've appreciated about season two of this series has been the fact that it takes big swings. I think if you look through reception to the episodes, I think the episode that plays it the most safe and Star Trek-y is probably the episode that is the least well-received. I think especially for a series in its sophomore season, to take big risks should be encouraged. And I accept that some of these will not connect with everybody. A lot of television is like that. But I think our genuine appreciation, if not affection, for all of these characters and the actors carries us through some of this. I did like the reference to Carol Marcus, even though I'm not 100% sure if that hits the timeline accurately or not, but I like that, especially when we in the audience are ready to see Captain Kirk be his stereotypical lascivious self. The Roger Corby stuff in particular was the most interesting to me because I do know where that's going, and I hope that we cast a very interesting actor and that Roger Corby becomes a semi-regular guest on the show in the same way that Kirk has become, because of what that could possibly do for the rest of the crew. Very interesting stuff ahead.
Okay, Ken had a longer call. He went on to talk about how well Celia is doing with Uhura and carrying on the legacy from Nichelle Nichols. I like his point there at the end about make Corby a semi-regular.
Mm-hmm.
I say take it one step further and create the most beloved character in history so that people just know the whole time that he just dies off screen. just make him into a wash from Firefly. Kind of thing.
That would be good. That would be good.
So did I miss Corby in it? Was he a character or just referred to?
No, just
to?
Referred to. Yeah.
Oh, right, yeah. I just heard it a couple of times, and I'm like, yeah, did I drift off? No, I'm
so sure. Heard the name and clung to it. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
People keep saying that the Carol Marcus timeline isn't adding up. It feels like it should. He was about 27-ish, late 20s, right?
Yeah, late 20s, yeah.
I think the problem is that they would have talked about it. I think that's the timing that doesn't line up, that it's never mentioned that she's got a kid until Wrath of Khan.
Yeah, but I mean, even in Wrath of Khan, they're like, you said you'd stay away. Like, he kind of cut that part of his life out. It definitely felt like he was intentionally doing that. So I buy that he never brought him up.
It's kind of like the why do you suit heroes have a secret identity? It's like to protect the people they love. Was the captain of the Federation flagship not publish that he has a vulnerable kid out there?
Oh, that would be an interesting subplot for Kirk.
Yeah.
If the Kelvin movies are canon, then you could also say that he's learned from his dad as well, that he doesn't want to have Starfleet in his kids' lives.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Star Trek loves orphans.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it doesn't love parents. That's
yeah,
right.
Exactly. So Kirk is not going to tell anybody that he has a kid because that just puts a target on your back.
That's right.
Yeah. The other point that the caller made about it's good that it doesn't just take safe swings is a really good one. Like I was thinking, what's one of the safest episodes ever of Trek? And that would have to be the Riker clip show at the end of season two of TNG. That's the right reaction, Cameron. That episode sucks. And I like all Trek, but it's a really safe, easy episode that doesn't take a swing at all, right? And that's why we don't like it. But this one, the crossover with Lower Decks is fantastic. And the safe way of doing that would have put them in the Lower Decks episode, not in a Strange New Worlds episode. Mm-hmm. The swings they've taken have been huge, and I think they've all hit this season. It's been fantastic.
Yeah, it was a hell of a season.
Mm. Although I feel like you're signaling out my baby among the Lotus Eaters there, Ken. Is that the safe one that wasn't very well received? I know it wasn't. I don't understand why. It's so good. It's also okay to just play to your strengths.
Yes, that's fair.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right. Here is our next caller returning the Open Pike Night stage. We have Mariah.
Hey, Open Pike Night. It's Mariah. Oh my gosh. Did anyone else just feel like singing like all the time after they started watching that? Anyway, there's so many things to talk about, but I want to just like have a theme today, and my theme is about the choreography. There's choreography on Star Trek. I'm a dancer, and so I'm always looking out for stuff like that. My absolute favorite moment is when Ortegas and Mitchell start doing their like console typing in unison, and they can't stop, and they're looking at each other like, why, what are you doing? Wait, are you doing this? Wait, stop. No. It's so like, if life became a musical, all of a sudden, that's exactly what would happen. And it was great. I also just really enjoyed the like very subtle stylized movement that then goes into full on dancing. Like it was very, it's weird that I'm about to say this, but believable. Like if you transitioned from normal life into musical life, you would all of a sudden start walking in rhythm, and then you would start making grand gestures, and then all of a sudden you're dancing in the corridor with Lieutenant Kirk. Really enjoyed that. Anyway, thanks, guys.
All right, Mariah, thank you. Man, people really did rise to the challenge of singing their entries.
Yes.
Good work, listeners. Good work, callers. Thank you.
Yeah, and Mariah's right. I feel like the choreography and the dance has gotten, you know, a little bit lost amongst the lyrics. But there was dancing. It was a lot of fun. And I 100% agree that the Mitchell Ortegas choreographed console business was one of my favorite parts, too.
I mean, they could have put a moment in there where they were doing that, and because it was synchronized, Ortega's just like launches a torpedo into space. Like, oh crap!
I was just thinking that, like you could have had some lower deckers like plugging things in, and they end up kind of like making a symbol, but they're like, oh no, this isn't how they go in.
Like pulling the isolinear chips.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
No,
stop, please.
We could have found out if this Enterprise has a source of separation for what they're doing.
Boy. Yeah, this could have been a whole different type of of farce.
I'm sure this is stuff they thought about that just they didn't have time for, but yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think the dance right at the end where Pike was dancing with the engineer was choreographed and scripted, or do you reckon they were just having fun on the bridge and kept it?
Could be either, really.
Yeah, that's a good question. We'll have to I know we're trying to get the musical creators of that episode on, and that'd be fun to talk about the choreography and see if there was anything improvised on the day of.
I reckon that just looked like fun. Like it didn't look like it looked like they kept the camera rolling to me.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like from what we've heard so far, it sounds like there are tons of bloopers from this whole season. I'm sure this episode has a lot. Mm. Although it was probably also the most rehearsed episode, so maybe not.
That's true. That is true.
Yeah.
Musicals are like action movies. Like you storyboard and rehearse. But yeah, like a little moment like that, I could see them kind of just leaving the cameras rolling and catching something organic.
All right, here's our next caller. Newman returns to the Open Pike Night stage.
Newman!
Apologies to Open Pike Night crew. I'm singing now for you. Very wondrous, so peculiar.
It's Newman the Space Hippie from the Movies for Days podcast. In the grand tradition of Buffy and Scrubs, the good people at Strange New World said, yes, us too. I was bursting at the seams through the whole thing. Every song is wonderful. Every cast member is wonderful. Every number was wonderful. And I want to shout out the rhyme of check inertial dampers and see if they're hampered. Oh my goodness. I adored Spock's sad response to I'm ready. He solved for Y, but he's the X. I'm enough of a nerd to appreciate the double meaning there. Teeny tiny nitpick. In Keep Us Connected, I feel like we had a great opportunity for a music composition moment where she's singing, everywhere I go, I'm solo, am I best when I'm unaccompanied? If later in the song, all the music dropped out and she just kept singing for like a measure or so, and then it all comes back in, boom! I feel like we were ripe for a moment in that song where that happened, and it didn't, and I was like, ah. But other side of the coin, how about that freaking trumpet at the end of that song. Oh my God. This is Newman the Space Hippie out.
I'm sorry you didn't enjoy the episode, Newman. Like, I really.
One star.
So good, Newman. Thank you.
Yeah.
He's got some pipes, doesn't he, Newman?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. We got some good singers on this podcast. I like his point. I like not the specific nitpick, but I love that people are like, this could have been an even better song if they did this. Like, you can tell how beloved this episode is because people want to improve on it.
Yeah, yeah. If you don't like something, you're just like, yeah, whatever. But, I mean, that's the thing I remind people when I get super critical. I'm like, no, I'm doing this because I love it. Like, it's at 99. I just want it to be 100.
Yeah, exactly.
Didn't you want to hear the Admiral singing as well?
I'm glad they made a reference, but yeah, that would have been awesome.
That, I could see maybe they filmed and maybe they'll give that to us as an extra.
Maybe.
I'm just saying, they need to load up the Blu-rays on season 2 with so many extras. So
yeah. This one needs a disc itself.
Do that Lord of the Rings style, just some appendices.
Extended edition. Yeah.
Yeah.
Heck yeah. All right. Our next caller is Peter.
Hi, this is Peter. I just finished watching Subspace Rhapsody. While it was definitely a different type of Trek episode, I enjoyed it, and it's one of my favorites from season 2. I enjoy watching movie musicals, as well as attended some Broadway musicals over the years. The songs reminded me of musicals such as Wicked and Rent. While I like all the songs from the episode, my favorites are Chapel's I'm Ready, the finale We Are One, and La'an's How Would That Feel? One of the strengths of Strange New Worlds is its standalone format. As a result, it allows for experimentation such as what we saw here. I appreciate the hard work and effort everyone on the show did to give us this memorable episode. If we look at the second half of the season, it's interesting to see the tonal shifts during the back half of the season. Episode 6's Lost in Translation, Episode 8 Under the Cloak of War, and from the preview, Episode 10 are more serious, darker episodes, while Number 7, Those Old Scientists, and this episode, Number 9, are lighter in tone. Strange New Worlds is probably the only Star Trek show which can have this type of structure. One more episode to go. Take care and live long and prosper.
Yeah, I did want to ask, like, what were our feelings about musicals going into this episode? Like, what is our history with musicals?
I was nervous. I tend to dislike musicals because I don't like how the action stops for the song, mm-hmm. and then no one acknowledges the song and the action continues. Like in my real life, I don't stop and do the film clip to Shoot by Salt and Pepper and then start my life again. I would love to, but my wife says no.
Where do these choreographed dancers come from and where do they go?
That's right. So I get a little bit annoyed by it, but if it, the really good musicals make it seamless, and this did it all, I think. Like when I think I've seen a really good stage production of Sweeney Todd before, and the songs make that. Like without it, it wouldn't be an interesting story. So I think it depends on the quality of how it's done, but also the songs as well. Yeah.
Do you have different feelings on different mediums, like seeing a musical in a theater on the stage as opposed to a film, or...?
It's the same issue for me, that they're stopping to sing. Yeah. For me, it's that issue of them stopping to sing just makes me, it stops the story for me. So I'm like, all right, let's just finish the song and get going with the story.
Yeah, for me, like, I don't have a problem with the musicals on stage. I mean, some are definitely better than others. I saw Les Mis in high school and loved it. Saw Miss Saigon, did not love it. But they did bring a fucking helicopter onto the stage, so that was cool. But I think because in the theater, I'm already, like, you're already kind of blocking certain things out, and there's already enough, like, theatricality that I buy into it more. Whereas in film, like, yeah, you are supposed to be wholly immersed in this reality, and then it just breaks all of a sudden. Again, like cartoons, I have no problem with musical cartoons. I love Disney movies and songs, so I don't know why that doesn't bother me, but like Chicago, I'm just like gritting my teeth the whole way through. But then, like, one of my favorite movies of all time is Singing in the Rain, so like, yeah, a good musical can kind of just like wash all that away for me. And then, of course, this episode, there was a reason for them singing. When you get to watch the actors be just as confused, or the characters be just as confused as, like, you are, it definitely it helps hold your hand through.
Yeah. And there's been a lot of I mean, not a ton, but there have been other musical experiments that are meta references to, it's like, hey, why are we singing all of a sudden? Why are there, where did the dancers come from? And it's a fun bit, and they did it right in this episode. I was a theater kid growing up in a big city in the, you know, 90s and 2000s. So it's like, yeah, Andrew Lloyd Webber, I know that they're good musicals. I can't stand them anymore because everybody sang them all the time. Sure. But I appreciate a good musical. I remember I saw The Fantastics in Alaska and it blew me away. And I wasn't familiar with the story. And then I saw 1776 on screen, just on TV, and it blew me away. I was like, oh, this is a good musical, and a very heavy ending to that one too. So I do appreciate a good musical. I've seen bad ones, but also, you know, like Peter brought up Rent. I can't stand Rent, but I appreciate it exists so that Team America could sing Everybody's Got AIDS. Like, you know, there's
least
we couldn't have that without Rent. So I will accept it.
But what this particular episode did well too is paying homage to different styles of musical. Like the song Una and Kirk sing is very like a Sound of Music kind of sounding song, whereas you've got like the song that Chapel sings sounds very modern. Like that could be a top 20 song.
And I did want to go back to Newman, I think, who had brought up other television individual musical episodes. So, of course, everyone's been mentioning Buffy, and we know that the writers were a fan of the Buffy musical episode. I had forgotten Scrubs had done one. I wonder if that was in the seasons I didn't watch. I watched, like, the first five, but that was also years and years ago. Sykes had to have done one, right?
Oh, man, I don't know.
They've done so many, like, kind of genre-specific episodes. They had to have done a musical.
Did Community ever do a musical?
Oh, I don't. They did like a Ken Burns documentary. I don't think they did a musical, though.
Yeah.
They did a holiday claymation, but not a musical.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't know if
we need to get more TV shows with more musicals. Yeah.
Well, this might be a new trend.
All right. I'll take it as long as they're good every time and never fail. Yeah.
That's right.
All right, our next caller is Platty.
Hey there, Open Pike Knight. This is Platty M3 with my hits, shits, and misses. Now, hits, honestly, the whole episode and how it balanced storytelling and singing. They did a very balanced show. Great musical. Uhura's song was my favorite, but holy shit, there's like a 30-second part of that finale that was just amazing. The Klingon boy band completely stole the show. Just ask Sam Kirk, who was jamming out to them, but it was the crew's reaction to that that really got me going. Pike's face, like mid-Klingon song and post-Klingon song, was to die for. Also, that little section started with Spock slipping in a little won't to the line that La'an and Pelia were singing about how they'd miss singing. And then he slips in the words, not exactly, to when the crew was singing about the Prime Directive. So seriously, that 30-second section just could be on repeat for hours and hours and continually make me happy. Shits, well, La'an and Spock's love life. And I feel like maybe Pike's is going to be Gorn soon, too, so priority one, not boding well here. Misses. Oh, I missed more Anson Mount or Bab singing. There was not nearly enough of them. Like Bab's face when he was skipping out of sickbay singing during the finale. Oh, we need more of that. More of that. All right, Strange New World count. We didn't get one. But don't even care this time. 6 out of 9 so far. And this episode had singing Bruce Horak, not diving Bruce Horak. So season 2 gets the win.
I did miss more Bab singing. Like,
sure,
it would have been fun. Would have been fun to have. Even if it's like, it doesn't have to be good, man.
I have a feeling Babs didn't miss more Bab singing.
Oh, yeah.
Does he only have one line that he sings?
Yeah, he's got like one or two in Med Bay and then one at the end, I think. And
Yeah.
Because that left ankle sprain, that one stays in my head.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
I like that line.
And Ortega's too. She's only got like one line. She must be another one who's like, yeah, I do stand-up comedy. I don't sing. and then Pike or Anson Mount, like, again, much better job than I could, but you could tell he was very controlled and rehearsed. And, you know, he had spent a lot of time to make it that he could get through those songs.
Yeah, he did his vocal warm-ups that morning for sure. Like, I got to get this.
With that cast, though, you play to your strengths and you give the songs to where they go.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah. Like
they've got some big singers, don't they?
Yeah. You got Rebecca Romijn, you got Chrissy Chung, and you got Celia Rose Gidding. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Who are you going to give the songs to? You're going to give it to them.
Yeah. Yep. And both Ethan Peck and Jess Bush, I thought, were surprises for me. I liked both of them.
Battelle, too. She didn't get a whole lot, but in their This Is a Private Conversation, I'm like, oh, she's bringing it. She's,
I think that's the song that always gets stuck in my head. I really like that one.
Yeah.
It's just one of those kind of like fun call and response ones.
Yeah.
What is your favorite song, Isaac? You'd mentioned you have one earlier.
I think it's actually the opening one.
Yeah.
Where, I don't mean the opening credits. The song with the why are we singing?
Yeah.
One.
Yeah, yeah. 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 That's probably my favorite one to watch, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah. They had that. That was a full shipwide. That was the full crew singing, and like, at least they went all out for what the song was in each case. Like, yeah, they had Kirk and Una dancing in the hallway. They had La'an doing the big passionate ballad. Mm-hmm. And Uhura, both of them just like fully going at it. And they, you know, they had Spock's song be all moody and kind of dark. Again, we've talked about not dark enough, not heavy enough. But
heavy, did you want, like, you know, grunge kind
just
of
a little, yeah,
we've book? Talked like yeah, a little yeah. industrial, maybe
they're in an engineering bay,
yeah 9 Inch Nails,
some Trent Reznor,
exactly,
yeah. Some Tool, yeah. I'm not a musical person, but I'm willing to bet that maybe that first song is really underappreciated, because of course singing is emotional and we get a lot of emotional songs. You don't get a lot of like confused singing, and they do a superb job of balancing like the performance of what the fuck is happening with carrying a note and sounding good. And I mean, it walks a very fine line, thinking back to it, really, that you don't hear in music a lot.
It's a good point. I think the other ones are more focused on because you remember them more, because they're later in the episode.
Well, and they're more traditional songs. You're singing you're sad or you're happy. You get that a lot, and it's easy to sing those big emotions, but like WTF is a harder note to carry.
Yes.
And as the audience, we're the same as well. We don't know why they're singing yet either.
Right, yeah.
So, it doesn't make sense yet.
Yeah, to sing in a normal singing voice while looking confused, it's like, I don't think anybody failed at that job. They understood the assignment, and they delivered.
I mean, on that note, we did kind of know, though. I mean, we knew enough about why they were singing, and we knew they were going to sing. Most of us, probably most, if not all of everyone listening, knew this was going to be a musical episode and came into it for that. Little peek at our Bernadette Croft interview. Her mom did not know it was going to be a musical episode, and I want to talk to people who did not know what to expect going into this episode, because that must have been a whole different experience.
I did talk to one person who, I can't remember if it was those old scientists or this, skipped the intro. And it's like, oh, come on.
Oh, because the intro. Yeah, right. Missed out on that. I thought you meant the previously on, because sometimes that's a good idea.
Oh, yeah. No, we've talked about that. We don't need previously on. Come on. We're streaming these guys.
We're up to date. Yeah.
All right, here's our next caller, Theo, returning to the Open Pike Night stage.
Hey, Open Pike, it's Theo, and as a theater kid, I have so many thoughts about this episode. Mostly good ones. You know, nitpicks here and there, but like, as always. Anyways, I'm going to stick to talking about La'an, because that's my girl, and I'm definitely one of the people that really enjoyed her dynamic with Kirk as a tool to examine her fears and her loneliness. That being said, I kind of hope it ends here. And not because I don't think they'd be fun to explore further, but because I think it's a fitting end to La'an's arc this season. And also, as a new character, I don't want her legacy after the show to be, oh, that's a descendant of Khan and she was involved with Kirk. Like, I enjoy that part of her story, but I think it'd be fun to make her own destiny in a way. Now, was him telling her he's a secret baby daddy kind of cringe? Yes, but that's the only way that scene could have been played out, and we've got to rip the bandaid off at some point. Also, Christina's speech, like, really helped soften the sting of secondhand embarrassment she did. Incredible, as always. I really hope we get to see La'an make more connections with the crew outside of Una after this. Like, we know she shows up to girls' night, Now I'm wondering what kind of duo La'an and Erica would look like. That'd be fun. Anyways, wow, I can't believe I talked about the Trek musical episode without mentioning the songs. I'll leave that to other people. Goodbye now.
Thank you, Theo. Great insight. Yeah. 100% agree. I think I mentioned this before, but yeah, I just love how Kirk through the whole episode is like, hey, I remember you owe me a date. And yeah, I'm flirting with everybody. Oh, you're really into me. I got a baby daddy. Sorry. classic Kirk.
Yeah. I do like her point, though, of like, yeah, right now, you know, her three defining traits, two of them are because of either a male relative or a male she likes. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, then Gorn. Like, yeah, let's make sure La'an gets some other stuff too.
Yeah.
I was thinking, is there another character we could ship her with this relationship officially kind of over or at least roadblocked? It's got a substantial roadblock in front of it. And I thought, she'd actually go really well with Sam Kirk. And I went, that's quite weird. I mean, from one Kirk to another one.
That would be a relationship dynamic for sure.
Ooh, yeah. That would be a bad Christmas dinner, wouldn't it? Particularly if time-traveling Kirk comes back, too.
Yeah. Yes.
But not impossible. Not impossible.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm free to write season 3. Just say.
Yeah, definitely, Theo. Let us know, like, what we gotta get La'an on some other adventure, some new adventure. Once we're through all this Gorn crap again, it's like, yeah, she needs a Captain's Holiday style Ryza adventure, like something fun and lighthearted for La'an. Let's give her that.
I think she needs something that really identifies her as being part of the team. Like, she's been built as very stoic, alone, independent. I think a good storyline would be to bring her to actually value team and unity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah. And they set it up a little bit in Those Old Scientists with who said that she was their next project? Uhura? She was going to be her next project? Maybe that was a little bit of foreshadowing there.
Yeah. And she likes the grapplers.
That's right.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Yes.
Yes.
That's another stick we need to make is La'an is right with just a grappler on it.
I think every season should just have a La'an time travel episode and she gets to go back and hang out with the Enterprise crew at their current ages.
Yep. Oh,
get a whole Enterprise episode in Strange New Worlds.
May I please fire the grapplers? Yeah, you know.
And she could sing the theme song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She could sing it. Chrissy Chung's next album just needs to be covers of Star Trek related songs.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
Heck yeah. Man, they were playing Star Trek themed covers of other songs all day long at STLV in the big hall there. The Sunday. It's like, man, people have made tons of Star Trek covers of songs. All right. Next caller, got two callers left. Here is Trev returning to Open Pike Night.
Hey guys, it's Trev beaming in from Failure to Franchise, the podcast about failed movie franchise starters. I'm guessing some of your callers this week are going to sing their thoughts, but I have way too much respect for you and the rest of the listeners to even attempt that. But I definitely loved Subspace Rhapsody. You know, between the two seasons of the show so far, there really hasn't been an episode I've entirely disliked, but it's still amazing to me that this season has so recently produced two classic, fun, feel-good episodes in this and Those Old Scientists, both of which I think are just going to become regular go-to revisits for me whenever I need a quick pick-me-up. For me, the highlight songs were All Systems Normal and the big finale number, but it was also obviously great to see Celia get to show off their Broadway chops in their big solo number. My only disappointment is I was hoping they'd include a cover of Faith of the Heart. I know they wanted it to be all originals, but I still think that would have been a really amusing nod to the fans. Finally, and I'll try to make this quick, for any fans out there who are jonesing for more Trek musical hijinks after this episode, I highly recommend John Ford's 1987 novel, How Much for Just the Planet. It's pretty unique amongst Trek novels in that it's a total comedy, but it's also a musical. Obviously, reading musical numbers isn't the same as hearing them, but they're there. It's a very strange book and probably not for every Trek fan, just like this episode. But for those who, like me, enjoy the goofier side of Trek, it's worth checking out. And honestly, I'd even love to see the Strange New Worlds crew adapt it someday, even though I know that's unlikely. All right, thanks, guys.
Interesting.
All right. We got a reading assignment.
That's right.
Homework.
Yeah. And yeah, maybe... I mean, I don't know how they fit in the Faith and Heart completely, but yeah, maybe fitting in like a line from the song could have been a fun nod. But yeah. I don't know. Maybe one little meta moment too much. I don't know.
Yeah, it either was going to be there or in those old scientists when they were pulling the old Enterprise.
Yeah, for sure.
That's where it would fit best. Yeah, where they could have used it. Like, even without singing it, just speaking a line of that lyric would work well.
I mean, I think Riker does it in Lower Decks, and like I think the first season he does that.
That's right. Yeah, but I think who said that this is the only series right now of Trek that could do something like this, that could take swings like this and make such big leaps? Mm-hmm. I think that's true. I mean, Lower Decks does so many referential things now that we're into season four, but it's still Lower Decks each time. Mm-hmm. It's still the Cerritos, you know, the same basic. Yeah, they get into a scrape, the Lower Deckers get out of it somehow and on to the next thing. It is super impressive how well this season worked for something that is just so wildly different each week.
Agreed.
All right, here is our final caller, Zoe, returning to the Open Pike Night stage.
So,
yes.
Back look cinema. Something strange in the strange new world. The storyline is taking us for a whirl. These crazy concepts, I shouldn't like it. Sat back, relax. I couldn't fight it. We beg the question at this new session where we ask ourselves, why are we singing? Why are we singing? I was ready to give the show a chance, give it more than a glance, let my mind expand. When the credits roll after the story was told, and we kept the promise to boldly go, I had to assess, without jest, the Subspace Rhapsody was one of the best.
I have no notes.
I am so glad we did this episode. These calls have been so good, and that was the Silly Rose getting moment for the end.
That was amazing, Zoe.
If I don't talk again for the rest of this episode, can we use that time and listen to the song again? That was awesome.
I will absolutely pass that song on, because, man.
Yes.
Zoe, that was great.
Very
good. And I'm glad I literally went in alphabetical order for callers this week, and I'm so glad I did, because, man, what a capper.
Yes. Yeah.
That's amazing.
I think I like the episode more now, just listen to all these calls.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to be hearing the caller songs when I watch the episode from now on, too.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll have to release a little companion album piece, put them all together in one YouTube video so you can watch it right along.
Oh, that'd be good. The Open Pike Night album.
Yeah. Man. Thank you all so much for calling in. And Isaac, thank you for being here to talk about Subspace Rhapsody with us again.
Yes.
Oh, I appreciate the invite. This was so much fun. Thanks for having me on.
Let me raise one more question. We've had some theater nerds call in, and John's a self-proclaimed theater nerd. What are some of our favorite musicals? We can get a little chat going on Twitter, perhaps.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me, I guess my favorite musicals growing up, I loved The Sound of Music. I'd put that on. I reckon I've said it 50 times. I used to love. Mm-hmm. No, I think I actually liked the songs in it. Yeah. And I guess I mentioned earlier, Sweeney Todd is a pretty cool musical as well. I really enjoy that one. Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of mentioned mine already. I do love Les Mis so much. The recent movie was also really good. And Singing in the Rain, except, and all the theater kids are going to fucking kill me here, but Gotta Dance, just one of the worst sins of cinema history. Let's just stop the forward momentum of this fun, lighthearted movie to a halt. Oh my God, just cut that out and it's a perfect movie.
Yeah.
Come at me, bros. At me all day. I don't care.
I think I listed two of my favorites, The Fantastics and 1776. I think are both excellent shows. I think... I can accept Les Mis, Phantom of the Opera. It like deserves a swift death in the history of musicals. It's done. It has played and played and played enough. It's time to let Phantom of the Opera rest and go away.
In my house, I have heard Hamilton so much this year.
Oh yeah, I bet. Yeah.
It's really popular.
Yeah, yeah. I finally watched it on Disney Plus. I was like, it's fine. It's pretty good.
I got to see it live in Chicago. It was a very good production. It was. I'm glad I saw it live. But yeah, it's also one of those like, man, this is going to keep going and going, but it's definitely not anywhere near Les Mis and Phantom for me yet. So. Sure.
But yeah, yeah. I'm definitely interested to hear some other people's thoughts, both people who don't watch a lot and people who watch all of them. Like, I'm curious for to hear both sides, what people cling to, are attracted to. I don't know.
Cling on to.
Isaac, what have you got to plug for us?
I co-host a weekly Star Trek podcast called Unplanned Trek with my good friend Andrew. What we do is we pick an episode completely at random across all Star Trek canon, but instead of reviewing it and saying why it's good or why it's bad, we just analyze it to give away medals and awards based on what happens in the episode. So we're looking for the best three characters, the worst three characters, romance, character deaths, fights, if there are any pets. That's how we watch the show. We're not interested in the plot at all. So if you like absolutely pointless reasons to watch Star Trek and have a bit of a laugh along at the same time, that's what we're all about.
Nice.
Fantastic. Any other podcasts get produced under your roof there?
Oh, yes. I'd be in trouble for not mentioning that too. So me and my son, we do a show called 2 Minute Trek. So my 12-year-old son, Jack, he runs it. He basically picks what episode we're watching that week or at the time, and we review it exactly for 2 minutes. Once it gets to 2 minutes, the episode is done. So it's a very short and sharp podcast. This week we watched the entire season 3 of Lower Decks in preparation for season 4. So we released 10 episodes like in 3 or 4 days. But, you know, that's only 20 minutes worth of work, you know. Yep.
Nice.
Very cool. Very cool. They're both fun shows to listen to. You should check them out if you haven't yet.
Thank you.
As far as Open Pike Night, give us a follow on any socials out there. We're at Open Pike on Twitter, X. We're at Open Pike everywhere. Facebook, Threads, TikTok, Instagram, just as many places as we've been able to get onto. And we have a great interview with costume designer Bernadette Croft coming up here pretty soon. And please be sure to check out our Patreon. It takes a lot of work for us to put these podcasts together. It takes a lot of time, and we want to make sure people can hear it. And we'd like to be able to do it without advertisers. So if you got a couple bucks a month to throw our way on Patreon, we'd really appreciate it. Patreon.com/openpike. Thank you, of course, to our 25-minute set supporters, Mark, Morhana, Steve, and Pam.
The other thing you can do to help us is if you don't have a couple bucks, or if you do, but you do have an Apple account, swing over to iTunes Music and leave us a review. Those reviews really do help push us up those ranks and help us get discovered.
Absolutely. Like, it is one of the most important things for a podcast is to get reviews on Apple Podcasts. Please just go there, throw us 5 stars, and write a few sentences, and we really, really appreciate it.
You know what?
Spotify, too, also allows ratings.
Because of this episode, any new reviews we get in the next 2 weeks, we will sing them on air in some future episode.
Absolutely.
I'm making this right now. Yep. Jesse's not here. He can't stop us.
Yeah, exactly. I will commit to Cam's commitment there. So we will sing all the new reviews for the next 2 weeks. Yeah, leave us a review before September 24th, 2023 to hear it sung out loud on the air. We will omit your name if you so desire. So, Cam, when you're not on the Open Pike Night stage, where can folks find you?
They can find me talking about Star Trek The Next Generation and now DS9 over on Green Shirt, a newbie's trek through TNG. You can find it wherever you're listening to this. You can throw us a review while you're at it. And you can also follow us at GreenShirt87 on Twitter or Green Shirt Podcasts on most of the other social networks.
Fantastic. Thank you once again to all of the callers who sent in wonderful songs this week, and to everybody who called in. Thank you to our listeners. Be sure to clean up after yourselves. Be sure to tip your servers. You can go anywhere you want, but you can't stay here.
Bye.
Okay, so there's a joke that I've been wanting to tell on Unplanned Trek for ages, but Andrew won't let me because he doesn't like the joke. But given that this is something that you ask your guys to do, I thought I'd bring it here and you guys can say if the joke's good or not. And because I'm nervous about this joke, this is actually now my third take actually trying to say it. But it won't be obvious because your amazing editing skills will get rid of the first two takes. Anyway. Guy walks into a library and says, "Excuse me, can I have some fish and chips, please?" The librarian comes from behind the counter and goes, "I am sorry, sir. This is a library." And the guy goes, "Oh, no, it's my mistake. I'm sorry. Can I have some fish and chips, please?"